Okay, so you've been working at something, trying hard to do something, wanting to create a new habit for so long, but it's just not happening. Should you keep trying? Maybe, but maybe it's time to just quit. How do you know what to do? In this episode, I've got some guidance for you on whether or not to just keep working at it or if it's time to hang up the towel and move on. With this three-step process, you'll gain the clarity to step forward in confidence, whether you're going to keep going or whether you're going to walk away. And with that, let's get after it. This is episode number 8 of the Intentional Mom Podcast. Well, hey there, I am Jennifer Roskamp, a certified life coach and homeschool mom of 9 who is passionate about helping women just like you embrace the here and now while also being focused on creating the life you actually want. In reality, it's not about thinking life will get so much better or so much easier when you fill in the blank. Let's work on creating a life you love now. So let's dive in and get started on redefining Supermom to be someone who is present, intentional, and content rather than perfect in our homes, in our lives, and in our own skin. Let's get started. This is the Intentional Mom Podcast. Whoa, permission to quit. Wouldn't that be awesome? Do you ever find yourself saying, man, I wish someone would just tell me what to do here, right? How many times in life do we face that? And if you've been trying at something, you've been working on something, you've been trying to do something, change something, fix something, start something, stop something, and you've been doing it for so long that you just wish somebody would tell you, what do I do here? Do I just keep going? Well, I'm excited to do that today. I'm excited to help give you some clarity here. So I've got a three-step process that will help you kind of move forward in confidence that what you're doing is the quote-unquote right thing to do. As humans, we can be interesting sometimes, right? There are times when it can be so hard to walk away from something, but we just drive ourselves into the ground trying to force something. It's like trying to force a square peg into a round hole, right? Trying to force something into existence. And the reality is that our efforts at some point will only take us so far. And so the reality to recognize is this, and this is something that I get into in coaching quite a bit. Why continue to do the same thing if it's not working? A lot of times, whether you realize it or not, you just can't strong arm yourself into something. And so what we're going to talk about today is really going to help you, again, gain some insight. Let's just take a step back a minute. Let's pause, take a step back, and let's look at this thing, whatever it is you're trying to do, and really examine what to do now. Okay. So step number one, acknowledge that it's not working. This doesn't mean that you're going to throw in the towel necessarily, but what this does mean is that it's time to get honest and recognize that no matter how badly you want it, whatever it is, whatever you're doing is not working. So part number two on this one is that you've also got to recognize that you have got to do something different if you want different results, right? Doesn't the definition of insanity speak to that a little bit, right? The definition that I know gets thrown around quite a bit and that floats around in my head is the whole idea that if you are doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting different results, that's insanity. So you've got to recognize that what you're doing and the way that you're doing it isn't working. And so if you want different results, you're going to have to do something different. So one way or the other, no matter how you look at this first step, the result is you're going to change course here. That's step number one. But how do you know? How do you know if it's time to walk away? Or do you find a new strategy or a new approach and see what happens? So these next two steps in the process really are designed to help give you clarity on the answer to that question. Do I throw in the towel or do I figure out a new way? Because again, I know that based on number one, I am not going to just keep on with business as usual because that is not working. And we can drive ourselves into the ground. Keep trying to shove that square peg into the round hole. Keep trying, trying, trying. Again, expecting different results. But we're going to be done with that now. And so, you know, in the first step, we said, all right, that's not working. And so I know that if I am going to keep moving forward, I'm going to have to do something different. But what I need to figure out right now, and this is where we are with step number two, is we're saying, I really need to figure out what I should do. Is it worthwhile for me to keep trying or should I walk away? Should I quit? So step number two in this process is really what I call a backdoor way of thinking about it. I talk about this a lot in Accomplished Lifestyle. For those of you who are in Accomplished Lifestyle, this will sound real familiar. So this backdoor way of thinking about what you're actually doing and if it's worth doing. So most likely, whatever it is, you're trying to do something, whatever that is, and you're looking at it and you know you're going to gain certain things. You know that certain results are going to happen, or it's you're fairly certain that certain results are going to happen when or if you do this. You look at all the different things that you'll gain. You maybe make a pros and cons list, right? All the benefits that will come when you actually do this thing and when you actually achieve this result. These are all the reasons why I should do this. We do this all the time. And this is really how we're conditioned into making decisions and saying, should I go forward with something? Well, why would you? What is the benefits? What do you gain? We do this a lot of times intentionally. And a lot of times unintentionally, we're adding up all the reasons to do it. And so all of these compelling reasons that you've tried to use to motivate yourself to do the things, all the perceived benefits that will happen if you take this action, if you do this thing, or maybe if you stop doing something, maybe you're trying to break a habit. But all of those compelling reasons have not been enough for you to actually take the action because you haven't. The fact that you haven't taken the action or you haven't achieved the results, and let's be real, a lot of times when we try something, we show up half-heartedly. And the more you try to fit that square peg into the round hole, the less and less you bring to the table every time you try it because we innately know this isn't going to work. We innately know you've tried this and tried this and tried this and tried this. And so often we show up with less grit each time. But it hasn't been enough for you to take the action because it hasn't happened. So let's approach things from the back door. So here's what this looks like. You would ask yourself, what happens or will happen if I don't do this thing, if I don't get this result, or if I don't stop doing this thing? What will the result be of not taking action? So, for example, let's say you want to lose 10 pounds and you've gone after it, but it hasn't really worked. The amount of time you've spent on this isn't really relevant here, but you've tried multiple times. And you would argue, I really have tried. And you've tried it and you've gone after it, but it hasn't really worked. So should you quit? Well, in this step, ask yourself, what happens if I don't lose those 10 pounds? How would you answer that? It's not what happens if I don't try. What you're really asking yourself is, what happens if I don't get that result? And a lot of times we get so caught up and we work towards something and we try again so many times that sometimes we don't even stop to take a moment and look around and realize, do I even want this thing anymore? Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we say, if we were to honestly look at it, there are going to be times where you actually look at it and say, you know what? I actually wanted that back in the day. But it's not even something I want anymore. Life has gone on. I'm focused on other things. Life has changed. The fluidity of life has just brought me to a different place. And you know what? That doesn't really even matter anymore. So you might even uncover this kind of realization when you're asking yourself, what happens if I don't get that result? Maybe your answer really will end up being, you know what? Not a whole lot. Maybe you would have answered it different 6 months ago or a year ago. Maybe your answer would have been, you know what? A whole lot of things will happen if I don't get that result. But from where you are now, with what life is for you right now, maybe you say, you know what? Not a whole lot. I know I've had times where that has happened. And I've said, I've just been so focused on trying to do the thing and assuming that it's still relevant. I never even realized that this thing I am, you know, beating my head against the wall to try to do, it isn't even relevant anymore. It doesn't even matter anymore. Obviously, that becomes an exit strategy right there. But let's just say, back to my example of losing the 10 pounds. Let's just say you realize, you know what, this is still relevant. Let's say that isn't what's happening here. And so you ask yourself, what's going to happen if I don't lose 10 pounds? And you really have to sit with this question. You have to essentially, as I teach it, this is one of those situations where you have to peel the layers of the onion back, because usually the most compelling, most honest, most raw, most real, most effective answers to these questions that you ask yourself, they're not going to be found in the off-the-cuff answer that just roll right off your tongue. The real things that you need to know are going to happen when you uncover and work at uncovering these answers. And by the way, one of the things I teach to coaching clients all the time is the purpose of asking yourself questions. We just dive in to the doing, doing, doing so fast in so many things. And it's kind of, you know, we're kind of taught that, right? Just get in there and start doing it. But there will almost always be huge value that comes in asking yourself some questions like this first, by the way. Another conversation for another day. But you're going to ask yourself, what happens if I don't lose the 10 pounds? And maybe some of your answers would be things like, I'm going to continue hiding. That was one of the big motivators for me when I wanted to lose weight, was I realized that I wasn't taking part in some of the things that my family was doing or that I wanted to do with my family because I didn't feel comfortable being in a bathing suit or wearing certain clothing or doing certain things or being around certain people. I was hiding. So maybe you would discover that. Maybe you would discover, you know what? If I don't lose this 10 pounds, I'm going to have to buy new clothes again. That was also my reality. Maybe you would realize, you know what? I'm going to continue with low energy and I struggle to get through the day because my energy is so low. Maybe you would say, you know what? If I don't lose these 10 pounds, I'm going to continue with this low self-esteem. I'm going to continue with this negative self-talk because I am so down on myself and this affects everything about me. And so that conversation is not going to change if I'm not able to lose these 10 pounds. Maybe those would be some of the things that you would uncover, but make a list. What actually happens if you don't achieve these results? What happens, in my example, what actually happens if you don't lose those 10 pounds? And the more you put this on paper, the better. If you've never heard me say this before, here's a first, but it won't be the last time you hear me say the importance of working through things like this on paper. I always talk about it like putting a puzzle together. Let's say you have a 1,000-piece puzzle. You wouldn't take the box, dump all the pieces out, and just start trying to fit the pieces together. That would make no sense at all. You would start by dumping out the pieces and turning all of the pieces over so that you can see all of the pictures. Now I'm no longer seeing just the cardboard on the back. I actually have the picture of what the puzzle is. Now we're getting somewhere. And after that, you might further separate things into categories. You might separate the outside edge pieces. You might put certain things that make up the picture together. And you would certainly have the finished picture on the box as your guide in terms of what the overall project is going to look like when you're done. And this same kind of thing is what happens when we're trying to sort something out. We're trying to figure something out. We're trying to find real answers, and you're expecting to just work through them in your head. It's really, really hard. It's like trying to put a puzzle together without seeing the right side of all of the pieces. Could you fit some together? Sure, probably not very well. And it would take you a whole lot more time and a whole lot more effort, and it would be a whole lot more frustrating. So writing things down on paper like this, when you're trying to sort something out, you're trying to figure something out, you're trying to figure out what's my next best move here, because why do more of what you don't want to do? We don't want to do that. That's not intentional living. That's at the heart of what I do as an intentional living coach, is I want to help people not do more of the things they don't want. Let's do more of the things that you want. Let's repeat that. And let's do less of what you don't want. But you have to be able to see all of the pieces. And so as you're working through this, I can't stress enough the importance and the benefit that you'll gain by working on paper, because you can see everything much more clearly. It's really hard to make sense of things in your head, especially if your head feels like a highway, and mine feels like that most days, maybe every day. But ask yourself, what happens if I don't achieve these results? Make that list and be thorough. The third step is related to number two, but it's a different spin. And essentially what number two is you're going to be calculating the costs. Again, another question. What am I giving up if I don't do or achieve this thing? So let me give you another example. Let's say you're trying to declutter your dining room. You ask yourself, what do I give up by not having my dining room a more usable space? If my dining room table continues to be covered with all kinds of things, piles of paper, piles of stuff, I don't even know what. What am I giving up when my dining room is being used for this purpose, as opposed to the purpose that it was designed for and that I want it for, which is dining, eating, usable space? What are you giving up? So you might uncover, well, family dinners at the table. And as you dig a little bit deeper, peel the onion layer back a little bit different, you realize, you know what? I really am giving up relationship. And relationships are really important to me. So I'm giving up relationships. And when you make that connection, you can see how now all of a sudden it's no longer about the dining room clutter. It's no longer about all that stuff that's piled on the table. It's about relationships and the fact that you're sacrificing valuable relationships. You can see how now it's a much different scenario than just saying, well, my eyeballs are going to be more comfortable because I'm not looking at all the stuff piled on my dining room table. That is true. But that's not the most compelling reason for you, clearly, because the piles are still there. But maybe getting to the heart of what really does matter for you, which in this case could be relationships, now you're onto something. And now all of a sudden you're saying, huh, well, relationships, those really matter to me. Right? This is going to be huge. Maybe you uncover that having friends over. I realize that I'm not having people over in my home and I really like hosting people. Maybe you have the gift of hospitality, but that's had to be something that you cover up because you feel shame that this is what my house looks like and you don't want to let people in. And you feel guilty. Maybe after the shame, maybe it gives way to guilt. And you feel guilty that you're not doing this. You feel guilty that your sister always has to host all the gatherings because you can't. And the guilt that you feel, actually, now that you sit and think about it and peel back some more layers of the onion, you realize this guilt is holding you back in other areas as well. We think our lives are compartmentalized, but they are not. You can say, what can clutter have to do with relationships? And at first, you can look at it at first glance and say, clutter and relationships, they are not related at all. Clutter and spending money, they are not related at all. But in reality, maybe you're self-soothing about that guilt you're feeling about the clutter and the fact that you're not taking care of it. Maybe you're self-soothing by buying things to make yourself feel better. Retail therapy. Again, at first glance, you say, spending money and clutter, they're two different things. They're two different compartments. They're two different parts of my life. But they actually are connected. Imagine that. So calculate these costs down to that deepest layer, down to that inner layer. in my example, you would discover it's costing you relationships. It's costing you self-care time. Because spending time with friends is self-care to you. It's costing you progress in other areas. It's costing you a loss of motivation, not just for that. Maybe all that clutter on the dining room table is the reason you can't consistently get out for a walk every day. Not necessarily the only reason, but imagine if they're connected. Imagine if just dealing with that clutter actually made some of these other things easier as well. It's amazing how much many of our struggles are all connected. Many of our triumphs also are in the same way. It's really cool. So again, calculating the costs. What am I giving up if I don't do this thing, if I don't achieve these results? So when you work your way through these three steps, you're left to ask yourself, when you get back to all the layers of the onion and you get to that innermost layer, and then you see what that is and you ask yourself, is this really what I want? Is this what I want? And you ask yourself, is the perceived cost of doing the thing greater, of taking these actions, is doing the thing that I've been putting off for so long, is decluttering my dining room, is that actually a greater cost? Or is sitting here and looking at the loss of relationships, looking at the loss of motivation, looking at the lack of self-care, which is greater here? Because the truth is, we really only take action of some kind when we determine that the cost of remaining the same is higher or greater than the cost of taking action. That's kind of a mic drop there. So much so that I'll repeat it. The thing is, we really only take action of some kind when we determine that the cost of remaining the same is higher or greater than the cost of taking the action. A little bit of a disclaimer here that I want to leave you with. You need to be honest. When you are working through this, you will need to be honest. The deeper you go at answering these questions, the more clarity you will gain. So take your time. Don't accept those face value answers. Don't just think about losing those 10 pounds and say, oh, my clothes will fit better and I'll feel happier and I will look better. All those are true, but there's probably some deeper layers of the onion there. You need to get to those. But the awesome thing you'll gain by really doing this work is clarity and permission to quit, or permission to go all in, and to be willing, truly willing, maybe for the first time, to actually pay that cost, the cost of going all in, because you've actually, for the first time ever, determined that the benefits are actually greater than the costs. Such a powerful process. Should you quit or should you keep going? These three steps will help you gain some clarity there. And there's a little bit of a mic drop moment mixed in for you as well. So there you have it. Should you quit? Should you keep going? Only you will be able to figure that out. But these are some awesome tools that will help you do that. Until next time, make it an awesome day. Well, wow, that was a powerful episode, was it not? Mic drop moment, truth bombs, probably a lot of light bulbs that went off, connections that were made, ways that you realized things are actually related to one another when I never realized it. And you might say, how come I couldn't see it? It's okay. You know it now. You see it now. Permission to quit, permission to keep going. The cool thing is that you'll have confidence and clarity. Confidence comes in that clarity. And those steps will help you do that. I'm so excited to share this here with you today. In the next episode, I'll be back with my Ask a Coach segment. And we're going to be talking about how working moms can get their lives together outside of work. Yes, it truly is possible. It truly is possible to get your home life and your life outside of work together as well. So why not live life on your own terms? Why not live with intention? Why not write a new chapter and start today? We'll talk soon. Bye-bye.